Scott, have you ever had dry-aged beef?
Dry? I'm sure I have. I mean, I've had dry-aged, like, steak.
The concept is really weird, right? It seems weird for them to, like, slaughter a cow and then
just let it sit there?
Yeah.
How does it, like, not go bad?
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't eat just, like, a piece of meat that's been sitting out. You know, when you buy meat and you have it in your fridge, and after a while, if you don't use it...
It starts to taste better, right?
What do they... I mean, what do? They put it in, like...
They cure it of some. There's salt involved, I'm sure.
Probably, maybe. Right? I think they just hang it in like a really dry, cold room.
So there's no moisture, so it doesn't. This is sounding really.
It's like, I don't understand. Like, how long do they age it for?
A day, a week?
No, I think it's like for months.
A year?
A year.
Could be. I mean, like, imagine, you know, that you get some meat or pork and you know.
Pork, aged pork for a year? Who the heck would want to eat year-old bacon?
I don't know, but they might want to listen to it. This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number...
43.
Good morning, and welcome to the one-year anniversary episode of Tech Bacon. I am Scott Gold. Joined along with me is...
Jamie Dooner.
It's the one-year anniversary show of Tech Bacon.
It is.
This is crazy. I can't believe it.
It is crazy.
A year ago today, me and Brian Bishop decided for the hell of it just to do a show. And we didn't have a name for it. We didn't have a title. We just sat down and started chatting. And come episode two, we came up with the Tech Bacon moniker. So pretty cool. Exciting. And apropos that today, the one anniversary show... Brian Bishop is leaving us. Leaving California. Nah, he already left the show.
He's not leaving California. He's leaving Los Angeles.
In my mind, he's...
Man, you are a Southern California snob, aren't
you?
I know.
God, what's wrong with me? He's leaving sunny Southern Los Angeles for sunny Northern California.
Right. Well, it can be foggy and...
That's true. But he's... Moody, yeah. And... He's driving up the coast right now.
I love that part of the country.
Yeah, me too. It's awesome up there.
And now we have the country of California.
And now we have a reason to go visit.
Yeah.
And he's, I'm sure, driving up the coast right now, jamming out to the Grease 2 soundtrack.
I would put my money on maybe some Cult or...
Nine Inch Nails.
Guns N' Roses.
We know our Brian Bishop so well. Mixed in with a little Cool Rider, and we're going to bolt him.
Right. Yes. If only Trent Reznor would remix the Grease 2 soundtrack.
Wow. Now you're just blowing my mind.
I think
Brian's going to try that now when he gets back. the bacon is a year old. Happy anniversary. Happy birthday. Anniversary. What is it?
Birth diversity,
tech bacon and on the 1 year anniversary of Tech Bacon, Scott forgets how to speak. Thank you very much.
Yeah, congratulations, man. You're the only one that's been there the whole time. Sometimes just by yourself.
This is true. Hopefully not more of those, because I really don't like doing it by myself.
Sometimes, Scott, it's just you and your bacon sitting there.
Jamie, a lot of times it's me. All right, well, we're going to dig into this episode. There was some pretty crazy tech news this week.
You know, I noticed you didn't say that last week after a little hiatus. I was like, huh, that's
weird. Well, you
know,
because there kind of wasn't. Last week it was just, you know, there were some interesting things, but
right.
this was a big week. Next week's going to be a big week. The biggest thing was the consumer preview of Windows 8. So last year, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, something like that, they released like a technical preview of Windows 8 for people to download it. It didn't have much functionality, but you could download it, install it, kind of see what it's about. So now this is the consumer preview. It's very much like a beta, or I don't think it's a release candidate yet, but it's like a beta. It's pretty functional compared to the other ones. So I, of course, as soon as I woke up Wednesday morning, it was available. I downloaded it, installed it on my computer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you like to master betas.
No comment.
I mean,
I didn't see that coming. I actually didn't see that coming.
Hey.
Oh, boy. And it's one of those shows already. So the installation was actually pretty smooth. It was cool. I was able to install the installer onto like a USB keychain drive. And that's how I installed the software. So it was kind of neat, you know, that you're able to do that. I have some issues with the whole Windows 8 thing,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. So the whole concept of it is it's very similar to how the new Windows phones are. There's like these tiles and there's no more start menu anymore. There's no more desktop. It's just these, they're called live tiles and they're just little squares and rectangles that you can scroll through and click on to open up your applications.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they treat the
by the way, Scott, squares are rectangles.
Well, but are rectangle squares?
No.
Exactly. So they are laid out just like, you know, across the screen.
Right.
And
like in a tile fashion.
In a live tiles, as they're called, in a tile fashion. And then if you want to get to the desktop, the quote unquote desktop, that's just another app. So there's a tile for the desktop. You click on it and it brings you to like the old school Windows 7, not old school, but Windows 7 desktop. Right. So they're treating the whole desktop as just another app in the system.
Weird.
Which is strange. So, you know, it's really fast. It's really smooth. Like, it's quick and you feel it.
Do you think that because it seems that all UIs are moving away from the desktop model?
Right.
Do you think that's one of those things that as we get old, we're going to complain about?
Because we I'm about to complain about it right now.
Yeah, but I mean, it's right now. It's just happening. Do you think we're going to get used to it like we've gotten used to everything else?
Maybe.
I mean, I can understand, like, little kids right now. My little nephews, you know, that's they go up to the TV and they try to touch it because that's what they're, you know.
Sure.
And that's they know this user interface from the get-go. The way it works with tiles on an iPhone or an iPad or whatever. And it's in, you know, there's a certain level of instinct to it.
Absolutely.
But do you think that we'll ever get used to it? Is it going to be
I don't know.
My grandma and like a landline or like the rotary?
I'm not sure.
She never liked the
where's the dial?
Yeah. She was complaining that it wasn't a rotary.
Yeah. I don't. Maybe we are. Maybe we're part of that generation. That's not. Here's my problem. Here's my. These things were. Mountain Lion is moving towards that same thing.
Right.
And the Windows 8 is like running into it. You know, like they're, you know, Apple's kind of gradually going into it where the OS is kind of looking like Apple, like iOS.
Yeah.
But this Windows 8 is full force running into this. Here's my biggest problem is none of these systems have really addressed proper way to multitask.
Right.
And that's what bothers me. Like when I'm on a phone or an iPad, it's a small screen in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even an iPad, it's not the biggest screen in the world, right?
Right.
So multitasking doesn't make as much sense because you don't have the real estate.
Right.
But when you're sitting at your desk on a computer, the computer monitors are big these days.
Right.
You have a lot of room and you want to be able to do a bunch of things at once. And there's a reason for having that much.
Well, even like the
screen size.
Basic function that most everyone, the two basic functions that most everyone uses on a home computer are, word
processing
and internet accessibility
and instant messaging. I would say those.
And those are things that you, when you're writing you're writing a report for school or whatever, you often need to look at the internet for research. If it's hard to toggle between those two things,
right?
Then what's the point?
I mean, sometimes you want them both up and looking at the same time. Now, Windows 8 addresses that a little bit. Better than like iOS, in my opinion, because you can slightly multitask, but it's still not great. What happens is, so when you bring up an app, every app is full screen,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you bring up your app and it loads up full screen. And then if you hover with a mouse, if you hover your mouse to the left side, it brings up a list of your most recently used programs or the ones you were last on. And you can click on them and either bring it full screen or just drag it to the left and it brings it up quarter screen on the left side. So you have two things at once.
Right.
But you can only have two things at once.
Right.
And you can only have it, you can't resize that It's only this little quarter sliver.
Ugh, I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I like it better.
Can you toggle between the two?
You can.
So the other one will shrink to quarter?
Yes, you can. Okay. I mean, but it's like, when I say quarter, I mean quarter vertically. So the entire quarter of the screen from top to
how
bottom.
How do you feel about how Apple does it?
Well, it's the same thing. Like, Apple doesn't do it. You can just go to the next app. Like, right. You have to...
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to this concept of to your home screen and click on the app.
How is it not... Like, this whole sort of Windows Macintosh concept, where, like, the OS, where you can have... Before all of this tile app crap... Like, when I'm at home, it's super easy to toggle between, like, you know, 8 different open things.
Right.
You know? So how is it not... How can they not translate that?
That's... Yeah, I know.
It doesn't make sense. It feels like a step backward.
To me, it feels that same way. Yeah. Like, I think there's a way they can do a combination of what they're going after.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, like, one of the things I love about Mac and... PC, Windows, Mac and PC, Mac, Macintosh, OS, and Windows.
Are those great commercials? I'm a Max.
Hey, Max.
How you doing, kid? I don't know what that was.
I don't know. It sounded like Jimmy Durante or something.
Yeah, Max. I don't know. Max Dugan.
Oh, no. There you go. Was that Peter Falk?
That was Jason Robards, wasn't it?
Yeah, Max Dugan Returns.
Yeah.
Wow. We just really, really dated ourselves.
Look that up, kiddos.
For all you youngsters, IMDb.
It's a weird, kind of depressing 80s movie that's not very good.
With Matthew Broderick.
With Matthew Broderick, pre-War Games.
Yeah, he was young in that movie. So, I don't even remember what I was saying. Oh, so...
You know Matthew Broderick from the Civic Super Bowl commercial?
You know, kids. You know, that guy that was in the spoof of the movie you haven't seen. What I like currently, one of my favorite things is on Mac is the dock, and on Windows is the taskbar.
Mm-hmm.
Having that, just having that makes it easier to switch between. Even if they had to be full screen, being able to see what I have open, what I have currently running, and just click to get to it. Not click and then click to get to it.
Right.
So they're adding another step.
Yeah.
Like they're actually adding another step in order to open up an application.
Right.
That's just... How does that make sense?
I don't get,
like, I understand, and it's more, I guess, geared towards quote-unquote power users,
mm-hmm.
work environment, or people that really, you know, the simple everyday web surfing, great, or just going to check your email, great, but you know what, that's another thing, looking at your email and surfing the web at the same time. I do it all the time.
Right.
All the time, or writing an email while I'm watching a video on the web.
Right.
Do that all the time.
Yeah.
In this new concept for a desktop, that isn't there.
Right. How many people stream music while they're doing work, you know?
Right.
Lots of people.
Yeah. I just, man, it bothers me. It bothers me. I like a lot of things about Windows 8. You know, I haven't tried it on a touchscreen, but it looks like it would be beautiful and very easy to go through on a touchscreen. And it makes sense for a tablet or a phone or a touchscreen computer. But, you know, and then when you do go back to, like, there are legacy programs work on it. Mm-hmm. No problem, because you can go back into this desktop mode. So it's like when you go into the desktop mode, it works fine. And it's just like Windows 7 desktop.
Huh.
You know, it's the same. Exactly. And it's fast and it's great. But, you know, I read something online that and it made sense to me. You know, it's like, why not give it, like, have that just be a choice? You know, I want to have it in Metro mode or just Windows mode.
Right.
You know, and have them both available, not that you have to always go out of it. Like, there's no start menu anymore in Windows.
Huh.
That's been around since Windows 95.
That's crazy.
You know?
Did you know that they're going straight from Windows 8 to Windows 10?
I did not.
Because Windows 7, 8, 9.
Jamie Dooner, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, I've been around little kids a lot lately.
That was amazing. That was awesome. I love that. You heard it here first on Tech Bacon. Breaking news, 789. And that was a coffee lull, ladies and gentlemen. The rare moment where Jamie and I both took a sip of coffee at the same time. So what else about Windows 8? They introduced the Windows Store as part of it now, which is like the App Store. Same pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you go into the store, there's some, you know, apps in there. There's a new, like, people and contacts and calendar app, very similar to, like, the iOS contacts calendar, you know, address book. You sign in with your Windows Live account, and then you get all, it's in sync with everything. It can sync with Exchange and with Google.
Mm-hmm.
Full syncing with Google, which is pretty nice for contacts calendar and mail.
Yeah.
With a Gmail account. That was neat. You know, aside from it being smooth and interesting, I'm bothered by this trend that all of the desktop space seems to be going to. And, like, I don't know how this is going to work. How does it work with multiple screens? I mean, that's one of the great things about being able to have a desktop sometimes is having more than one monitor.
Right.
And you can have something open here and something open there.
Right.
So, like, I don't know how it's going to work on that. What else? What are the other features? Oh, there's this thing on the right called the Charms Bar.
Charms Bar?
Charms Bar. And you, if you hover your mouse to the right corner, this bar pops up with preferences and, like, a start Windows icon that kind of brings you in back to your home screen kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it's cool and it's neat. But day-to-day, I'm scared to normally...
I don't like the name Charms Bar. Is that, like, because they can't use the word icons?
I think it might make a noise or something, like when you go, like a, you know, Tinkerbell kind of thing.
But that sounds like it's, that's,
yeah,
it
I
sounds
don't know.
Stupid.
They're icons. They're little icons. I don't know.
Right.
No, Jamie, they're Windows 8 Charms.
That's what I'm saying. Are they not allowed to use
the word
icons?
I'm sure they can. They probably invented the word icon.
Right. They're iconic for using the word icon.
Right. Let's put it this way. Every beta version of Windows.
Maybe they don't want something with an I in the front of it.
Oh, interesting. Could be. Every version of Windows since Windows 98, I've installed the beta as my full-on desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do it with this.
Huh.
It's too off-putting.
You're too old to master the beta.
You're never too old to master the beta, Jamie. Never too old.
I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Anybody can download Windows 8. It's free, the consumer preview, so I'll throw a link up to it. I think, actually, I may have already done it on our Facebook page. But I'll put it in the show notes. And, you know, it's nice if anybody's running Windows 7. Windows 7, and I think the last version of iOS has the same feature where you can shrink down your hard drive partition.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it creates another disk within your disk. And then you can, like, install another operating system on it. So if someone wanted to try it out and not mess with their whole system, you can just shrink your partition down and then install Windows 8 on a separate segment of your hard drive that won't interfere. So if one wanted to try it out, it's fun to try, you know?
Although you don't like it.
The more I think about it, the more I don't like it.
Right.
The more I think about it, the more and more I don't.
You've got hate for Windows 8.
Windows. No. My biggest problem is not having some sort of dock or taskbar.
Right.
That is my biggest problem. I like that quick, easy access to the apps I used most, and to know what apps I have running just by looking without having to go somewhere else.
I have a question. Without a desktop, how do you throw stuff away?
You can right click. And, like, another bar comes up and it, like, selects one of the programs. Well, that's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up because there's still a file system within there. And you have.
I mean, I understand going to a.
No, but here's the thing. To get to your files and stuff, it brings you back into
a desktop.
Desktop mode.
Right.
So if you're going all this way and then all of a sudden you have to go back to do it, you know? I mean, otherwise, you can, like, right-click on a program to uninstall it just from that tiles pane and throw it away, you know? But, like, on that main Windows, there's no trash.
Maybe it's all a ruse that, like, it's sort of this thing, like, as technology has evolved, right, it's kind of like cars. Like, maybe our grandparents were with cars. Like, they really understood the intricacies of the car. And now today, like, we're sort of like,
we just drive it.
We just drive it until we can't drive it anymore and we get a new one. So maybe it's just a conspiracy by the computer companies to have, like, well, my computer's full now. I guess time for I need a new one.
Maybe.
I mean, because they're making it more difficult to get rid of things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They are.
I don't know. Maybe there's something there.
It could be. I mean, or maybe it's just you're going to delete stuff within the apps you're using.
Right.
You kind of like you do with iPhoto. Like, you don't know where the files are in iPhoto, but you can delete them from within the program. Or in Apple Mail, you can delete them within Apple Mail, but you don't... I mean, I know where they are, but you don't know where they live.
But it becomes an it becomes a sort of a pain to delete, like, an entire application.
Right.
You can do that pretty easily with a desktop.
Right.
If you have to go... I mean, you know, say you buy some, you know, Angry Birds, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they're not making it as easy to do that kind of stuff.
Right. And it, I mean, that stuff piles up and...
But it's also like the space has become... There's so much storage you can have on a machine now. It's like kind of overwhelming.
Right.
You know, when you get a 4 terabyte
drive. But don't you think with that comes people creating applications that use more space?
Yes, absolutely. That is exactly what happens.
Right.
Of course.
And the files are bigger and the programs are more robust because there's more space and bigger processors and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, we shall see. What becomes? Here's what I will promise the listening audience: when the beta of Microsoft Office comes out with, I believe it's Office 15, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be coming out this summer, and it's supposed to be a Windows 8 version of Office. When that comes out, I am going to install and use Windows 8 with the new Office as my full-on computer, and we'll see how that goes. It makes me very nervous to do that.
Yeah.
I almost installed a separate partition and saw if I could work like a whole week.
Yeah.
Just in general with my laptop. But then I didn't do it. I came so close and I'm like, nope. All right. So this is going to, that's Windows 8 for now. This brings us into another Windows kind of thing. There's this company called OnLive and they're a gaming company. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever used their gaming stuff. It's streaming. Basically, the concept of their company is streaming HD games via your computer.
Right.
So like
I may have. I don't
I mean like full on, you know, any game you play now, you don't have to own a disc or even download the file. You can just play it streaming in HD quality.
Right.
That's what their concept is, and it's great and it's worked, you know, these guys are on the top of the tech, you know, spectrum with their technology.
Right.
So they have come out with and it came out a few weeks back for the iPad, now it's come out for Android. OnLive desktop. And what this is, it uses their technology to give you a virtual Windows 7 machine on your tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's kind of baffling.
Right.
How well it works. I mean, imagine you install it, you launch it, and then all of a sudden your tablet is a touchscreen Windows 7 computer. Full screen.
Yeah.
Works. There's no lag.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's the crazy thing. You don't feel like you're remoting into anything. It just feels like that's what you're using.
Right.
I was so just blown away. You can play HD video off of it.
Right.
Streaming with no hiccup and no lag.
Yeah, it looked like I was saying to Scott earlier that it looks like it looked just as good as a non-HD station on like DirecTV or something.
Right. Right. And I was saying to Jamie, like, if depending on your connection and depending on how many people use it, like, they have servers, obviously, so it takes up streaming capabilities, the quality gets better.
Right.
You know, and, like, it's full touchscreen, so they have Microsoft Surface, which is an app that they have on, like, you see it at some museums and stuff, it's on a table, and you can touch pictures and move them around.
Yeah.
So they have the app on there, and we were playing with it.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And, there was, like Scott said, there was no lag time. Pretty insane. Most insane the sort of like capability of what that could become.
Right.
Which means that in the future, or very near future, everyone could just have
streaming anything.
Anything, and they wouldn't need much other than the capability to stream.
Right. Right. I mean, like, imagine like if this company OnLive, if they took this even to the next level, they could come out with their own tablet.
Yeah.
Ultra thin, doesn't have to have any storage.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It has to have, you know, a tiny little hard drive.
Right.
Because everything would stream in and you could, all the apps could be streaming, a desktop could be streaming, games, everything. Basically, it's just this device accessing the web, and their technology is so good. I mean, I'm surprised that you haven't seen like the movie studios or anybody else try to license their streaming technology, because
right,
it's staggeringly good. So the app is free. Mm-hmm. There's a free version on iPad and Android, and the free version gives you a Windows 7 desktop with 2 gigs of storage space and access to Microsoft Office Suite. Mm-hmm. And like Notepad. So you get not full off, but you get Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Paint, Microsoft Surface. That's the free version. You don't get no web browsing on the free version. Then there's a $5 a month version. So they're a subscription model.
Right.
$5 a month gives you web browsing, more storage, you know, things like that. And then it goes up to even like enterprise levels and stuff.
But I mean, just think of the possibilities. If you it's like, you know, it's like like what they're doing with the Kindle, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing? Where they're you pay
for a subscription?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you get the thing for very dirt cheap.
Yeah.
You get
the
device, and
somebody could do the same kind of thing.
And if you're paying, you could be paying less than people pay for their cell phones.
I mean, imagine if you were paying $10 a month. Okay, imagine you're paying $15 a month, whatever, and the device was free.
Right.
Over a course of how many years, you still wouldn't have paid as much as you pay for an iPad 2.
Right.
And then you get a new one 3 years later.
Right.
Like, it is amazing because they could be cheaper because you don't need a hard drive in there. I mean, or you need a tiny one.
Well, and you're also talking about this could become the new family computer. Because it wouldn't be
that's true.
Expensive.
That's true.
And maybe everyone in the family could have one. Yeah.
If it was a tiny little box that hooked up to a screen.
Yeah.
And you didn't need any. That's true. Virtualization has been around for a while.
Right.
And like a lot of companies, big companies use that for their operating systems. Like they'll have one big virtual server,
right,
and then the desktops are just virtual Windows.
Right.
There's no machine. Similar technology, but all in-house.
Right.
You know, this is accessible anywhere.
Yeah.
It's impressive. It's rare that I'll load something up and just kind of be blown away.
Right.
And that's what happened with this. Yeah, I didn't expect it.
I was very impressed as well.
Yeah, I didn't expect.
And if there's any way to invest in this particular company.
On Live. They're a game company.
Maybe you should think about that.
Yeah. This company would be smart to license their streaming technology.
Yeah.
Because if they licensed it at a pretty high rate, which they could, this could be a game-changing company.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned. So I suggest anyone check it out if you want. Or, you know, or if you're a road warrior and you have your iPad and you need Word and Excel and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, boom, take it. You know, download it.
So Mad Max. Download the OnLive. You crazy road warrior.
So that's OnLive desktop in the App Store and on the Android market available. And while we're on the subject of the game world, the world of games, there's a company called Steam, and they do gaming also. I believe it's a platform for game systems, kind of like the Xbox platform or the PlayStation platform. Steam is a platform. It's on the computer.
Right.
There's rumors circulating. I don't know if it's fully confirmed, but they are going to be creating a software for anyone to make their own, any company they wanted to license it, make their own box, gaming box. So open sourcing, kind of, not fully, but a system so someone could create the next Xbox or the next PlayStation and not have to be Microsoft or Sony.
That's crazy.
Logitech could do it, or Google could do it, or Motorola could do it, or anybody could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this could shake up the video game business big time, because there's only been three players in town.
Right.
Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft.
Right.
This could open it up to 100.
What about Sega, Scott?
Sony, Microsoft.
That's a joke. Didn't one of them buy Sega at some point?
I think so, yeah. Because there are Sega games that come out for Nintendo. I think Nintendo might have bought Sega. Huh. You know, back in the day, Sega, I'm pretty sure it was Sega, bought my dad's arcades.
Really?
In Chicago. Or at Capcom. I think it was Capcom, but they Sega owned them or something. So it was like,
wow.
Pretty crazy.
There was like a Sega World in Vegas.
There was. We went to that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Right?
Had something to do with DreamWorks.
DreamWorks. Something works. GameWorks.
Yeah.
GameWorks.
It was Sega and DreamWorks. And
DreamWorks. It was like a big,
it was like
huge,
a Dave and Buster's kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't really ever take off.
No.
It wasn't that fun.
No. Once video games were really impressive in the home,
yeah,
that whole thing disappeared.
Correct.
Along with video stores. Everything we grew up with doing
is gone.
Is gone.
Gone. Gone. Gone. Gone. But so this could really shake up the game industry. I mean,
yeah,
there, we could see. If I were
an engineer.
If I were, if I were Xbox or PlayStation or Wii, you know, if I were any of these big gaming companies, I'd be worried.
Right.
I'd be worried because they've kind of had a lock in this business, and this is a multi-billion dollar business. This is bigger than the movie industry.
Right.
Gaming is massive.
Yeah.
And not that there's not room for other players, but, you know, I think it will make this a very different business.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because that means prices go down.
That's
innovation goes up.
I got to say, I think that's why the gaming industry is so massive are the prices. Because,
well, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
people, obviously. I mean, like, I don't think as many people go play games as go to movies. I don't think that's true. The difference is they spend more time doing it.
Right.
And they're willing to pay $80.
But, you know, I mean, it's hard to equate. Except for money, it's hard to equate the experience.
They're two different things.
Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, if you go to a movie, you go and watch the movie.
I always thought it was weird to compare them.
Right. It's just that they're both forms of entertainment.
Right.
You know, but yeah, it's hard to, it's not the same.
Right.
You watch a movie, but you buy a game and you play it every day. It's like, if you saw the movie every day and paid for it every day, you know, you can't,
right.
They're just so different,
yeah,
experience-wise. So, very interesting to see what comes of this. One of the other rumors coming out is that their controller is going to have like biometric feedback on it, which is kind of cool.
That scares me.
Yeah, so I'm curious.
What does that mean?
It's touch sensitive controllers, and you know, it actually, you know, kind of Rumble Pack to the next level.
Rumble Pack to the next level.
Yo!
Oh, you played with the Vita. How was that?
Oh yeah. Since we're talking about games, good. I forgot about that. Awesome.
Yeah. I heard something weird about it, that there's like controls on the back.
Yeah, there is. Okay,
is it a touch screen on the back?
No, it's a touch strip. So I'm not a gaming guy. You know,
I
have a Wii, but I don't really use it. Man.
I was hoping to fly by that comment.
I was like, maybe Jamie's not going to know.
Please. Sorry, I can't help it. I'm perpetually 12 years old.
So the... I went to the Sony store just to try it out.
Yeah.
Man, is this thing impressive. Really, really impressive. The feel of it, it just weighs the perfect weight.
Uh-huh.
It sits in your hands just in the right way, like the way it should. The screen is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And, I mean, it's really beautiful. You know, full touch screen plus full controls. I was playing that game. What's
Uncharted?
Uncharted.
Which is a cool game, right?
Yeah, cool game.
Yeah.
I mean... No difference in playing it there and playing it on the... I mean, aside from seeing it larger,
right,
same experience.
Yeah.
No hiccups, no glitches, smooth, fast, incredible. The interface, the custom interface on there, I think it's built off Android, is amazing. I mean, it's really smooth and slick and fast. The touchscreen's really responsive. And on the back, there is just... It's flat. You wouldn't notice it, but it's a touch-sensitive strip. And you're going to be able to use it for games.
See, that's to me, that is like the craziest innovation.
Imagine like zooming in on shoot something, or
every controller I've ever held in my hand, I've got two fingers sitting on the back,
right,
that don't do anything,
right.
And now that's really
so smart.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, and there wasn't nothing. I couldn't try it with anything.
Yeah,
but the guy at the store was telling me about it. I can't wait to see what, you know, games utilize that for, because that's going
right.
to be incredible. I was really. Just the build quality of this device really blew me away. They're really...
Wait, Sony built a nice electronic device? I don't believe it.
Yeah, I know. Shocking, right? Yeah, I'm impressed. That's all. I walked away out of there going, if I used a gaming system in a second, I would buy this.
Yeah. I would like to try it. I'm never going to.
Right.
You know,
I mean, you could be playing a game in your bed on this thing, pause it, and then pick it up on your system.
Yeah. I mean, if I,
that's cool.
I don't play games that much to, I go through phases.
Right. For somebody who's like an everyday gamer.
Yeah.
No brainer. Right. No brainer for the everyday gamer.
For shamer, Scott.
Sorry. I bow my head. All right. So that's our gaming rant. iPad 3 rumors, just real quick. Next week, we're going to know. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's Wednesday, not next week. You know, in a couple days, we're going to know. By the time you listen to this episode, whatever Wednesday is?
I think that's the 7th.
So they will be announcing the new iPad 3. Who knows what it's going to be? Rumors are it's a much better screen, better camera, quad-core processor, faster. One of the latest rumors is that the iOS 6 is going to be on it.
Huh.
So that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Possibly a smaller one, but that rumor comes out pretty much every time there's an iPad rumor.
Right.
Well, I mean, like, what you use an iPad on a daily basis, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, what would get you to buy a new one? Like, if there was, like, okay, this is the next generation. Is there anything?
I don't know. Just, I think, faster processing.
Would a better screen do it for you? I think that might be cool for reading.
Yeah, like...
For reading books, like, if it was a higher res screen, it would almost be Kindle-like.
I don't really care for reading.
Right.
I mean,
use your Kindle.
Yeah, use the Kindle. I'll read stuff on the internet on my iPad. Or, like, the magazine... Certain magazine apps or whatever, but
right, yeah, me too.
I'm not going to read a book on my iPad. It's just not. It's too. I don't like staring into the light to read.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what could make it a must-have.
I don't know.
Hard to say.
It's one of those things that I wouldn't think of until I saw
Apple.
Yeah,
it reinvents the wheel, and you're like, holy crap!
I mean, whoever can invent a smudge-proof glass screen?
Hey, that might be
that's. That would get me to buy.
They're working on it.
I'm sure.
They're definitely. I've read about some stuff. They're working on that.
I mean, it's not good for whoever's
makes cleaning
whoever
cloths.
Will be in the factory.
Yeah, seriously. Another conversation, but yes, agreed.
Did you listen to that thing? The NPR, the This American Life. I'm sure you read about it.
No, it when they went to China.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I listened to it.
Fascinating. Check it out. It's an eye opener. And,
the reporter goes to China and tries to talk to people in the town. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah, this American
Life. Mr. Daisy and the Apple or something.
Yeah, like and it's that. It's streaming. You can get it.
Yeah.
From NPR, I think from like the NPR app. I think it's on there.
Right.
Yeah, fascinating. It's actually fascinating. What were we talking about?
iPad 3.
Oh, iPad 3. So, I don't know. Rumors are that there's going to be a new Apple TV also. So that's another big rumor coming up. The supply of Apple TVs has dwindled in all the stores and online. You can't really get them.
Right.
So which points to there's going to be a new Apple TV. What it will be, who knows?
Right.
I have no idea. We'll see. You know, not much speculation aside from the rumors that always circulate. And, you know, we're going to know pretty soon. So.
Yeah.
I'm excited to find out.
Right.
And who knows? Brian will be up in San Francisco. Maybe he'll end up covering the event, which would be
awesome. Yeah.
It would be very cool to see Mr. Bishop up there at covering the Apple event. All right. So we're going to move on to our new segment. Now, that would be the news segment, not the news segment. Come on, Jamie. So
what are we talking about today?
Well, Jamie, today the password is Academy Award. Little
hooray for Hollywood. Sorry.
Keep going. I thought you were going to keep going.
I don't
know. Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. I don't know the other words.
Hollywood.
Screwy Dewey Louie. No, those are the
Huey Dewey Louie.
Those are the
Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
What?
Donald Duck's nephews.
Little Academy Award wrap up.
Right.
I think we should discuss.
Sure.
Thoughts on the show in general?
Same old. Fairly boring. Right. Not as funny as I would like it to be.
Better than last year.
Way better than last year, yes.
That was kind of a disaster.
Billy
Crystal, did you enjoy?
Eh.
Yeah. He was funny. I like that. I
laughed
Billy
at a couple
Crystal.
Things. I think that the thing I laughed at the hardest was Chris Rock's line.
Which one?
Wait, where he said, I forget what he was talking
the
about.
The Beverly Hills Mansions line or whatever?
No, he was talking about like what African-American actors are cast as.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was something about like...
That's funny.
Yeah, I forget what the
he was great.
Was.
He was great. His little bit up there was hilarious.
Yeah. There was yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
And it is what it is.
Yeah, it can't... like, I've come to realize that it's never... I'm never really going to enjoy it as much as I would like to.
Yeah.
Because I'll probably... Because there's things I'm rooting for that it doesn't... It's all politics and, you know, it's all old white dudes voting.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. And it just sort of... it doesn't really mean anything. It's just a... It's a...
Recognition.
It's nice to see people get recognized. That's it.
You know, I was reading an article that in Entertainment Weekly, they did a... Before the voting, they did blind writer, actor, executive, what are you going to vote on thing, right?
Right.
And this is, it made me, reading the studio executive's answer, made me realize how annoying the voting process is. Because he goes, he's like, who are you going to vote for best director? Well, I think Marty Scorsese was the best director this year, but since he won a couple of years ago, I'm going to vote for the guy who directed The Artist. It's not dependent on who won a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's recognizing what was the best this year.
Right.
And that inherently is the problem with the voting in the Academy Awards.
Right.
You know, just the fact that people think that way.
Right.
You know,
people often get awards for a career being unrecognized.
Yeah, exactly.
Like some might argue that Christopher Plummer won that award for that same reason this year.
Correct.
But I haven't seen that movie. So.
I haven't either. I hear
he's great.
I actually hear he was incredible.
Yeah.
In that,
and I mean, it's Christopher Plummer.
Right. He should always win an Academy Award. I love Christopher Plummer. Did you? So let's go over some of the bigger picture.
By the way, how did you feel about how they spaced the awards out, doing cinematography first instead of a supporting actor and all? Like, usually they start off with supporting actress or something. And
they start off with something big. I think they were trying to mix it up.
I when I was watching, I was like, why don't they, and because they're big awards, maybe, but why don't they do the writing awards first? That's where the whole process starts.
You know what I think? Yeah, that's true. Like, if do it in order of start to finish of a movie, like in progression, kind of interesting, you know? It's not a bad,
they have to save directors and lead actors for last,
right.
Obviously, because they want people to...
I mean,
you
and I talked about it the other day. I mean, it's a no-win. It's a no-win scenario. You can't... There's no way to do it where it's exciting. It's going to be boring at good chunks of it, no matter what.
Yeah.
There's no getting away with it. Unless you cut half the awards out of the telecast, which is insulting to a lot of people.
Right. They've already cut out a bunch that are...
Yeah.
It's sort of like...
Like the special... A lot of special effects awards and those things are not in there anymore. They have the whole technical awards ceremony now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know what else they can do. I like the Cirque du Soleil thing. I thought that was great. I like Cirque. You don't like Cirque du Soleil.
I don't like Cirque du Soleil.
I mean, that was
fine.
A cool
they were
one.
Good. They were good. They were fine. They were flipping around.
That was
and
impressive
doing their
stuff,
thing.
Man.
I'm not. I am. I am very impressed by their athletic prowess and their ability to flip and turn and wootsie whirl and whatever. I just don't care for it. The whole concept of Cirque du Soleil. There's something about it that creeps me out in the same way that clowns, it's like clowns creep me out and then add on to that, they're sort of like.
You are a clown.
That they're sort of, I creep myself out. No, clowns creep me out and then add on that it's sort of like weird, like 16th century Italian clown imagery and that creeps me out even more.
But like when you just think about like the guys doing the flips and those kind of things, that's very just regular circus like those feats of strength and
no, I absolutely find that impressive that they can do that as a form of entertainment that I want to watch with the music they play and the way the costumes are and the surrealist element to it. I do not care for it.
Do you like seeing the regular acrobats? In the regular circus? Do you enjoy that? You do enjoy that.
That's fine, yeah. It's not, I mean, I don't seek it out. But
no,
like,
I know,
it's
but
not,
like, if... But that doesn't bother you.
No.
Interesting.
It's part... It's. I think it's the presentation.
Gotcha. Well, I thought it was cool.
Yeah. No, I just... It's not my thing, you know? Right.
Ain't your thing.
Yeah.
Ain't your thing. I like that they try to mix it up, though, doing something in the telecast, although I think they should have had the songs that were nominated.
There was only two songs nominated. It's that like, was why not too.
Play them? I read why, which is, they've mixed up these rules so much. You know, I guess you have to have a certain percentage of votes to be nominated in order to even make the nomination. And so, like, the weird problem with that is, let's say there's 25 great songs that everyone knows about.
Right.
None of them would get nominated.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have any nominations because they would be too evenly spread out.
Right.
So it's such a kind of ridiculous reason. Like, this sliding scale in the best song is just, you know, doesn't make
sense. It's weird because in the past, there's been a few times in the past 10 years or so where a song that was integral to the telling of the story won. Which I always think that should win.
Absolutely.
It's, like end credit songs, whatever. That's just like Oscar bait. But like Hustle and Flow, the song from that, which was integral. The song from Crazy Heart was integral.
Right.
The song from Once, those were all important parts.
You Got
of
a Friend in Me
itself.
From
all the Disney stuff, right?
Those are in the movie.
Yeah. Anything that serves the story. That's the stuff that should win,
right?
You know.
Well, I mean, I also think like
I didn't see either of the movies. I didn't see the Muppets, and I didn't see Rio. So I don't know.
I didn't, but I saw.
I'm sure the Muppets one had something to do with the story.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was in the. It was musical, so it was in.
Yeah,
the,
I don't know about the, Rio.
Same thing. They were both in the movie.
Oh, okay, you know what I mean? Then that's fine.
But like, yeah, it was weird. I think there was room for more to be nominated. I wish they would have performed them too. I mean, I enjoyed those.
It's a show.
Those would have been fun numbers too. Like, I don't know if you heard those songs. Yeah. I listened to them. They're big show, you know, big showy numbers. That would have been great. Jason Segel up there with the Muppets. That would have, people would have watched that.
Right.
I think it would have brought in, you know, more.
How did it do viewership wise?
It did better than last year.
What won last year?
Oh boy.
Best Picture.
What came out last year?
How many times do you have this conversation?
Once a week.
Yeah.
Were there anything you thought was overlooked this year in the Academy Awards?
Drive was my favorite movie last year.
You know what? Me too. That was totally overlooked in every way.
Yeah.
Like, music, amazing.
Music, that should have been up for,
amazing.
For score. That should have been up for some of the acting stuff.
I mean, Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
How was he not nominated?
Was great. Albert Brooks was great. Everyone in the movie was really good. It was that was one of those movies that was perfectly cast, I think.
I agree.
And,
that was totally overlooked. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people I know that was probably one of their favorite movies of the year. And I thought that was overlooked.
Yeah. I was surprised at the Meryl Streep. I mean, always loved it.
Yeah.
She's great, but I was surprised. That was a surprise.
Right.
What won Best Picture? Oh, The Artist.
The Artist.
Did you see The Artist?
I saw three quarters of it.
Oh, right. That's right.
Lauren had a screener and it sort of putzed out like three quarters of the way through. I liked what I saw. It was good.
Yeah. It was cool. It was a cool movie. It was
a little light and fluffy.
Out of
the 10 movies, did you see all of them?
I didn't see War Horse. And I didn't see, there was one other I didn't see. What was the other one? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I didn't see two of them. But
I saw everything except the end of The Artist.
Right. It was neat.
What
and impressive in how it was done as you know.
Was it shot on video?
It
looked
know.
Like it was at some points.
I'm not sure. Might have been.
Right.
It's possible.
Or shot with like a 5D or a Red or something.
Yeah, it could. I have to look it up. I don't know.
What would you have picked for Best Picture, Scott, of the ones that were up there that you saw?
Over the nominees again?
I don't know.
I have an Entertainment Weekly here. It's bound to have with Billy Crystal on the front. I'm trying. There was one that I thought should have won. Oh, I know. I think Hugo should have won Best Picture.
Okay,
in my opinion.
Yeah,
I thought, and people, some people disagree. I think it
I know people
long.
That really didn't like Hugo, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was
so
good.
Weird. But yes, some people really didn't like it. The biggest problem is it was too long.
Yeah,
you know. But if you cut 20 minutes out of that movie. It was perfect. It just dragged, but everything else was so good.
Yeah,
like the acting was great. The cinematography was beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, it was really just this. The 3D was spectacular.
Yeah,
in that movie, I mean, it was just, and I just really loved the story, and it made you feel good.
Right.
I thought Scorsese. it was a toss up between, I think the director of the artist, that was a toss up to me between him and Scorsese, but yeah. I think Scorsese should have won. I think he just crafted this like perfectly, this perfect like portrait of film history.
Right.
You know, and a lot of that's true, which you told me that, which I didn't even realize. I forgot.
Right.
You know, so like, I mean, like,
I mean, it's a fictionalized version of,
but a lot of the stuff about
George Millier, or Millier, however you say
Millier,
it.
Yeah.
And another thing, I know a lot of people that didn't see it in 3D, and I think that was a mistake.
Especially for that movie.
I don't like 3D. We've had this conversation before, but certain things I will see. You know, Scorsese shot the movie in 3D.
He visualized it in 3D.
To me, that's a no-brainer. Go see it in 3D. It's the only movie besides Avatar, which I didn't care for, that I have told people you have to see it in 3D.
Right. Well, it was so specifically for 3D. I mean, and even like a lot of, you know, like he was equating 3D to like old silent movies. So to get what he was going for, you needed to see it in 3D. When he shows the old silent movies of the train pulling into the station and the crowd being scared, and then actually does a train pulling into a station in 3D.
Right.
He's making a comparison that you need to get.
There's hundreds of shots in the movie that are referencing other things. There's a dog in the movie, and every time you see the dog, the way it's shot, it looks like an old Hal Roach short. I don't know. It looks totally like it. Yeah. Every time I saw it, made me laugh because it was so goofy looking. You know,
totally.
But I watched a movie last night called Take Shelter, with Michael Shannon in it.
Oh yeah, I like Michael Shannon.
Awesome. He should have been nominated for an Oscar for that.
This was this year.
This was a movie from the past year about a man who's having visions of the apocalypse.
And, oh, wow.
And his, you know, it's like, is he going crazy or is it real?
Interesting.
I mean, like, he's a very compelling actor, almost like a more intense Christopher Walken.
Right.
You know?
Oh, I like Michael Shannon.
Yeah, he's really good. Great. But yeah, I would check that movie out. Take Shelter. I think he was overlooked for an Oscar nomination.
Oh, cool. What was it?
Take Shelter.
Take Shelter.
Very slow movie. Right. If you don't like slow movies, then probably avoid
it. Not your thing, but he was great.
But yeah, really good.
Cool. All right. So that was, you know, on to the next year of the Academy Awards as we start to see our next segment of movies. Right.
Transformers 4. Best picture next year. I'm calling it right now.
We're the worst picture awards.
Razzies. The Razzies.
Right. The Razzies. Yes. Well, Juno, Jamie, Transformers 4 is going to be a reboot of Transformers. You know, so that it's going
to
be better.
It's nothing.
Jamie has a hate for the Transformers movies that for 2 and 3, I completely agree with.
I hated them from the very beginning.
I know. Music?
Music is wonderful to listen to.
It is. I enjoy music. I like to drive in the car and listen to a little music.
On a note referencing last week's show, I saw the band Cloud Nothings, which I talked about last week. I saw them live on Friday night here in Los Angeles at the Echo. What a great live band, man. Great. Yeah. The energy of the shows. It's one of the best shows I will see this year, I'm guessing.
Really?
Yeah.
How many band members are there in there?
There's four.
Okay.
They're just like, the energy is just awesome, man. They had this like just like great sort of punk, almost hardcore energy, and they sounded as good, if not better, than they did on the recording.
Oh wow!
And an honest to goodness mosh pit happened at the show.
Wow!
Which was
an organic mosh pit.
An organic mosh pit. I've seen pits at shows, you know, in the past 15 years. But it was always the crowd around the pit controlled the pit. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's three or four guys up to 10 guys kind of, like, doing that thing. But they never sort of push the crowd back. This was one of those, like, it was 1995. And
really?
And the crowd, a lot of people were in the pit. And everyone else, got to the walls, you know? And a lot, it was funny to see certain like young kids who maybe had never done it before, like not knowing like what to do with their glasses. Totally. It was really funny, but it was,
that's awesome.
It was a really, really good show. You get a chance to see them. Cloud Nothings. If you're into that kind of music, then check it out. They're really, really solid live band.
That's awesome. That's cool. So if they come to your city, mm-hmm. Cloud Nothings, this week, or in the past couple weeks, there has been a band that we've, me, Jamie, all our friends have been kind of just constantly listening to, called Fun.
Yes, Fun.
Woohoo! Woo-hoo.
They have an album called Some Nights that's out. They have, I think, the number one single in the country right now.
Oh, is that
called it? We Are Young?
Oh, right, right.
It's a huge song.
We Are Young. Well, which is the, what's track two? That's not We Are Young.
No.
Oh my God.
We Are Young's the big.
We Are Young has been in commercials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was on Glee. They did a cover of it.
Right.
Like in the beginning of the season.
It might be the number one song in the country right now.
A lot of
people. I've heard it everywhere I've gone in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah. But to me, that's not, I mean, well, give a little description of the band. I mean, like, if you could, it's hard.
Okay. So they're, I don't know, two or three dudes, young guys in their 20s. It sounds like a mixture between like Queen and REO Speedwagon and like
there's so many different influences in there.
Yeah,
like Paul Simon.
There's a little Paul Simon. There's a little Fleetwood Mac in there. There's, but I'm not. It doesn't say. There's also like a heavy dose of like plain white teas.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? There's a cheese factor. I have, the more I've listened to it, the more the cringe worthy stuff has sort of been apparent to me. I don't like, I'm not a big fan of pop culture references in music that's not rap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's just my own thing.
Pet peeve.
Yeah, they rhyme bitter and Twitter, and I just, why are you even mentioning Twitter?
That's funny.
And
I think the bit, like, the song I was thinking about is called Some Nights.
Yeah.
Which, to me,
is the name of the album, title track.
Which is also the name of the album. To me, this is their standout track. I mean, We Are Young's great. Features Janelle Monáe also.
Yeah, yeah.
On We Are Young. But this Some Night song, there's something so...
There's that... I like
amazing
that
Amazing Harmony.
On song too.
Which one? Oh, Carry On.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
It's... when I say Fleetwood Mac, I don't... It's a weird comparison, but what I'm saying when I say that is that when Fleetwood Mac has a chorus, a group chorus, and Lindsey Buckingham's vocals are out front... That's what it sounds like to me when they do their... Because when he sings in the verse, on most songs, he gets up in that REO Speedwagon, Freddie Mercury range.
Right.
But in the choruses are always like sort of group shouts.
Yeah,
and he sings lower in the chorus, and he sounds like Lindsey Buckingham to me in those group choruses.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's what, when I say, what, it reminds me of Fleetwood Mac.
I could see that. I could totally see that. And it's a very just like, it's a forward-moving music, you know, very strong drum beats,
right?
And just like it gets me in a great mood. It is fun,
right? Yeah, they're appropriately named for sure. It reminds me a little of it kind of reminds me of Muse too, in like less dark,
yeah, like a happy Muse,
yeah. And there's a little like they use auto tune a little bit, which I'm not, some of that stuff doesn't float my boat, but not that I...
It's not a perfect album, but there are some...
It's fun.
Amazing standout... Yeah. To me, there's some standout tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, I really... I just kept listening to it and listening
check
to it.
Check it out.
It will be...
It's a huge album. It's going to be a huge album.
Yeah, check it out. It's on... I mean, just go ahead and go on Spotify, RDO, or whatever, and listen to it. You can find it on YouTube and all that jazz. Or, you know, buy it in iTunes or Amazon or Google Music or wherever you like to purchase your own music.
Right.
It is there. So, Fun... It's fun. That is the official Tech Bacon review. Fun is fun, period.
Yes.
Because that is technically the name, is Fun, period. There's a period at the end. Like other things we know of.
Who would put a period after
the title of something?
I have
no idea.
That's just ridiculous.
So weird. It just doesn't make sense. So enjoy Fun. You know, we'll put a little link up. And what's more fun than music?
Food. For Scott Gold, it's food.
Yes,
I don't know, for me, they kind of...
Okay, there's two things we're going to talk about in the food section. One is great, and one is horrible.
Talk about the great thing first.
Great thing first?
Yeah.
We'll end on the horrible thing? Okay, and then I'll tease something for next week, too.
Okay.
That'll be good. So, there's a restaurant in...
Studio City.
In Studio City,
California,
called the Black Market Liquor Bar.
Mm-hmm.
You would think it's a bar. It is a bar, but also a full-on restaurant.
I'd say it's more of a restaurant than a bar. It's sort of like...
Well, there's a huge bar, though.
There's a huge bar, you know, but it's...
But it's, you know, restaurant bar.
Right.
Restaurant slash bar.
Right. Barstrant.
Restaurant. Barstrant. We'll go with that. The head chef is
don't you mean the top chef?
That is exactly what I meant. Antonia from Top Chef fame is the head chef over there. So, you know, if any of you watch Top Chef, she's the one that's cooking up the concoctions. It's an ever-changing menu.
Right.
They're constantly changing, you know, seasonal, different stuff. I guess there's some standouts that stay on the menu most of the time. You know, mixology drinks, lots of interesting, weird, different drinks.
Right.
So, let's kind of describe the place first. Just kind of like the setup of this space.
You know,
it has like a very old world feel to it.
Yeah, lots but of like brick, arch ceilings.
Arch brick ceiling, looking. Actually.
Yes, exactly.
which is how... Like, you walk in, I felt like I was somewhere in Europe, but the space was 10 times bigger than any place you would go in Europe.
Right.
Like, when you walk into a little restaurant in Europe, it's narrow. The brick and has this feel... What's that?
It's narrow.
It's narrow and small.
Yeah.
This is long and large.
I'm gonna leave that one alone.
Good. Please do. Just a great feel. You know, there's just kind of, to me, there was kind of an electricity in the space.
Right.
You know, like people were having a good time.
They had light bulbs.
Right. You could see things.
There was actual electricity.
Just felt, you know, felt alive. It's a good, as soon as you walk in the door, it felt good. It didn't feel pretentious. It didn't feel stuffy. It's spaced out, but communal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So communal. A lot of communal tables.
Yeah, there were communal tables. And, you know, all the way towards the back is the kitchen. And it's a little bit of an open kitchen. And there's a bar. And there's, you know, maybe four stools. So some people, you can sit back there and order some food. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, basically to the right of where our table was.
Huh.
That is where the kitchen is. So if you went by yourself, you could sit at the bar, or you can go back there and sit there and see them cooking the food in the back.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is pretty neat.
Huh.
The food is tapas style. Mm-hmm. So small plates,
yes.
You know, not Spanish. You know, I mean, there may be some Spanish influence, but not tapas, but just tapas style, small plates food, shared plates and everything. This food was kind of out of this world.
Yeah, it was very, very delicious.
It's one of those places, and this is rare, where every single dish was good.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some better than others, but I don't think we had a bad dish.
We did not have a bad dish.
And we ordered almost the whole menu.
Yeah, we did order almost everything on it. There was, what, seven of us, something?
Yeah, like and it was for a friend's birthday, and we just kept ordering.
Yes.
Stand out for you that you can remember? We'll talk about a couple of the dishes, but like...
The mussels.
The mussels were...
It was just sort of, I mean...
Steamed, perfectly steamed mussels.
Steamed mussels and with the garlic broth and the bread.
And remember, there was also like this shaved fennel that was almost like a pasta in there.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
I'm not a fennel fan.
You're not a fennel addict?
I'm not a fennel. I don't know. I'm not a big fennel fan. The taste can be off-putting to me sometimes. If it's done right, this was just... so good.
Right.
It was the tangy. I don't know exactly how it was prepared. It was a little acidic.
It was tangified.
It was tangified.
Tangified.
And shaped. The dish looked like mussels and pasta.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Right.
And then served with this incredible garlic bread.
Yeah.
Right?
You got really angry when you just said that.
Incredible. Angry and
I'm
good.
So good.
How could you be so
the
good?
Garlic bread was so good that Scott is angry talking
I'm
about
so
how good
mad at how good that garlic bread was. And you know, sopped it up in the bowl with the mussels.
Yes,
and
delicious. There was good pork sliders.
Yeah, it's pork like bao. They were
no.
Oh no, that was chicken bows.
Yeah, they were chicken bows.
Go back. Pork sliders.
Yeah,
which were great.
Yeah,
traditional slider, but like a barbecue pork.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
with a pickle.
With a pickle, which
right.
with a really awesome pickle.
Yes.
They nailed the pickle.
It was a
tiny little thing, but they nailed that pickle. It was just perfectly, perfectly pickled. Just like this episode. Yeah, the chicken
there
bao.
There was one episode where Sam was pickled.
There was.
Chicken bao was good, yeah. You know, a bao, not a steamed, I mean, steamed bun, but like more like the taco style than the bun itself, a round bun with the stuff in the middle.
Correct.
But it had some, I believe, some shiitake mushroom. Cabbage and whatever. It was delicious.
Tasty. They had one of my favorites was that peel and eat shrimp. Uh-huh. They had this like, it was like this lemon pepper peel and eat shrimp. And, you know, comes to the table, you obviously peel the shrimp yourself.
And then you eat it. Wait, first you peel it.
And then wait for it. Then you eat it.
See, I was going to guess that you threw it.
What I think was really smart about this dish, which is, and I obviously they did this on purpose, but because you have to peel it, you really get the lemon and pepper flavor on your fingers.
Right.
And so when you're eating the shrimp, because it infuses in the shrimp a little bit, but the whole experience of eating it and having it on your fingers when you eat the shrimp really, to me, brings the flavor more into your mouth than you would normally get if it was just soaked up.
So does that mean that you're going to just start eating with your fingers? Everything?
I already do. But, you know, some people don't like to peel their own shrimp.
I grew up near the Gulf Coast and there's nothing better in the world than fresh Gulf Coast shrimp to me. I actually have a problem eating shrimp at other places because it's not as good. So I just don't really care for it. This shrimp was awesome.
Yeah.
But, I think it's weird when people don't want to touch their food.
Yeah, me too.
Like they're like,
why not?
I also know a lot of people that don't like
other people that
chicken on a bone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where they're weirded out by the bone.
Because they have to eat it with their hand?
I don't know. Maybe they think it's gross. I mean, they think of like the gremlins eating chicken late at night, and that was a gross scene. I don't know.
That's weird. That's funny. What was the other...
What about dessert?
Oh, dessert. So there were... I think, to me, there were two standout... one other thing I wanted to talk about really quick was they had... there was a Brussels sprouts dish,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a coleslaw. They took the Brussels sprout and sliced it up and served it like a coleslaw.
Yeah.
And very unique flavor. Has definitely that Brussels sprouts taste.
Right.
But fresher, if that makes sense.
Lauren does this thing when she makes Brussels sprouts once in Blue Moon where she peels them it's leaves.
Oh, interesting.
Right? And I mean,
kind of like an artichoke.
It takes forever to prepare. I mean, she'll cut the bottom off and then peel it, and then it takes an hour.
Well, are they like chips? It's like, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, and then you cook it like you would normally with olive oil and a little salt and pepper.
Right.
But they're each little thing gets kind of almost crispy, and it's really good. It just takes a lot to prepare.
Brussels sprouts get a bad rap.
Brussels sprouts past 2 years have exploded.
They have exploded.
Like, I think it's...
The stigma is starting to go away.
I want to say it's our parents' generation maybe had them too much, or their parents boiled them for them, and so they never wanted them and made the house smell bad.
Because they tasted crappy.
But yeah, it's been in the past... I mean, yeah,
past couple years.
Yeah, past couple years where I am like, if I see Brussels sprouts on a menu, I want to order it.
Well, you know what? It's because now they are a dish. Like, they're not... Like you said, just boiled and thrown on the plate as a side. Like chefs are now thinking about the Brussels sprout in a different way and creating unique and interesting ways to eat it, like we had at Black Market Liquor Bar.
I just thought of a menu item.
Oh, go for it.
The Jean-Claude Van Damme. Mussels with Brussels.
What would that consist of?
You steam clams, right? And then you...
The mussels from...
And then you cook the Brussels sprouts in the garlic sauce...
You're blowing my mind here, Jamie.
And then you put them together.
Wow. Jamie's
The Jean-Claude
muscles,
Van Damme.
The Jean-Claude
Muscles
Van
with Brussels.
By Jamie Dooner. We're going to come out with the Tech Bacon Cookbook, where we have all the ridiculous stuff.
It probably is not as good. I just like the pun, but...
I just like the name.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll come up with a menu and never make anything.
Right, yes. That sounds good.
Jamie, you probably could create the best food menu.
I could create a funny food menu. That's what I mean. Don't know. It would actually be any good.
No, I wasn't talking about quality of food.
Thank you.
I was just talking about the menu. The written menu.
Right.
So desserts. What did we... two things that I think were standouts. Let's go with the first one that you thought was amazing.
It was a beet pudding with pomegranate. And I know that sounds disgusting to everyone listening, but man, it was tasty. It was
light and fresh.
And it was sweet. It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't too sweet, but it wasn't like a pickled beet flavor.
No, you didn't, I mean, like, there was just a hint of the beet flavor.
Right.
But then it was more of a sweetness.
Like a sweet, almost like a sweet borscht.
Yeah.
Like, but very light.
Yeah, but not that strong
beet borscht flavor.
Yeah, that beet flavor. It was muted, and there was pomegranate seeds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In there?
That was the thing. I mean, we ordered like 5 desserts, and that was the one that I kept going back to.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was served. It was cool. It was served in like...
Like a mason jar?
Like a... It wasn't a screw top, was it? Wasn't it like one that like you that has the latch and it vacuum seals almost when you...
Right, but...
like a glass jar. A glass jar.
Yeah.
I mean...
Vacuum sealed glass jar.
Yeah, one of those. and then the other thing was a homemade fluffernutter. I think is what it was called.
Wasn't it? It was fried, right?
Yeah. It was.
With bananas.
And we ordered 3? Did Lauren order 3 for us?
There were 3.
There were 3 of these. So God, it's so hard to describe. So marshmallow fluff. Is it called just fluff? Or is it called fluffer nutter?
I believe there is an official fluffer nutter, which is sort of peanut butter flavored marshmallow fluff.
I think that's what it was.
Right.
So that... with bananas and deep fried into like
a... Is there a little bit of chocolate brick in there?
I don't think there was any chocolate.
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out how to describe what this tasted like aside from
like
gooey,
really light
fluffer nuttery heaven.
Fried peanut butter banana.
Yeah.
Marshmallow. Like, I don't...
We couldn't stop eating it.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
Kept going back to the beet pudding, but...
The whole table devoured these three things. I mean, it just... it was like lightly fried. It was heavy, but it didn't feel heavy because of the consistency.
Right. Because
of the fluffer nutter, lightness of it, and very, airy and light.
Yeah.
And it just was like sweet peanut butter, marshmallow, fried banana.
Right.
I don't know how else to describe it. It's hard to describe all these flavors working perfectly together.
It was delicious.
You know? Like it wasn't a sweetness overload.
Mm-hmm.
But you did get like that peanut butter flavor was pretty
intense
in it, but it never overwhelmed.
Right.
You know, and it was big. I mean, we could have done 1 for the table, but we did 3 and we ate them all.
Right. That is true.
Which ended with our friend Mike licking the actual cutting board.
He did.
Clean for money.
He did for $30. That was a big pot for something that
wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. Cause
I could have done that.
It was a delicious... It wasn't like...
It was posed to me first.
It wasn't a bet to eat something gross. It's just that we were full.
Right. I could have done that, but I have long ago stopped making food bets. After the last one I did was years ago, and it was, eat everything left on the table for $150.
I don't know, Scott. You gamble every time you go out to eat. You're like, I'll try the foie gras jelly donut.
Which we will talk about next week. And ladies and gentlemen,
he really did try that.
Yeah, last night.
That sounds terrible.
This is a little tease. Umami Quintessen that I ate at last night. We'll talk about next week. So now, on to...
The worst.
The best.
Drink. Ever.
Worst.
Drink. Ever.
Wow. I don't want to think about this. it makes me want to throw up. So we were at a bar called, what was the bar? Oh, Bigfoot West.
Bigfoot West, yeah. The Bigfoot Lodge. There's a Bigfoot Lodge in Atwater Village in Los Angeles. Also one in San Francisco. Not sure which one was first. I believe the San Francisco one was first, but I might be wrong about that.
Cool, fun place.
Yeah. I mean, looks like a log cabin.
Like there's, a wilderness there's lodge.
Taxidermy and Bigfoot statues and
jackalopes. And
right.
All over the place. So they had a menu item that seemed...
A drink item.
A drink item. Bar item. That seemed to be up right up my alley.
Yeah. I was not lured.
The drink was the bacon maple old fashioned.
I don't know why you would drink something that had bacon flavor in it.
Because it had bacon flavor in it. I'm a firm believer, Jamie, that bacon goes with everything.
Like the liquid flavor of bacon.
Listen. The liquid flavor of bacon, I don't think is the problem with this drink.
It was everything.
But
it was just gross.
Here's what I think. I didn't see them make it. but I think they actually used bacon maple syrup in the drink because it was really syrupy and thick.
The smoke flavor was really...
It was horrible.
Present. It tasted...
awful.
Yeah.
I don't know how else... It basically tasted like I was drinking a shot of syrup.
Right.
With a really smoky bacon syrup.
Right. I tasted it. And I would say that it tasted like... Say you're in Vermont, and there's a wild pig that has been sniffing around the bottom of maple trees.
Oh, boy.
And you were to kill that pig, or not kill the pig, not really, no, kill, not chase it around, get it all sweaty because you're chasing it, and then hang it up and just drip the sweat off of its taint. Wow. And if you don't know what a taint is,
don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. But that's what it tasted like to me. It tasted like...
It was gross.
It tasted like...
It was gross.
It tasted like someone else's, like, you know...
Family friendly, Jamie.
No. This is going to be family friendly. You know when you get that taste in your mouth right before you are about to throw up? It tasted like you were tasting someone else's pre-throw-up.
We don't want to make our listeners throw up.
But you know what? I got to say, that was not the worst drink I've ever tasted.
That was not the worst drink you've ever tasted?
No.
That was the worst drink I've ever tasted.
Okay, I've had some of those Thanksgiving sodas.
By the way, quickly preface, I finished the whole drink just
you
out
did.
Of principle, and it was awful.
Anyway, it was awful.
Awful.
I have tasted all those, or not all of them, but you know Jones Soda Company every Thanksgiving has like Brussels sprouts and pumpkin pie and all that soda.
Like
I've tasted those,
sodas,
and those
right.
don't count because it's a novelty, and you know it's going
to
taste
You really don't
bad.
Expect it to be good.
Right. But I want to preface this by saying I don't want to insult my new brother-in-law and his wife. But
noted.
So Jonathan, I apologize if you're listening to this. Dinner party. My brother-in-law his wife, the lovely Victoria, is from the Ukraine, and she made a really lovely feast for us, Ukrainian feast with lots of really, really good dishes, great borscht, great sort of potato dumpling things,
awesome.
Lots of smoked fish, very, very delicious. But there's this soda that is popular in the Ukraine that she had as part of the sort of spread,
right?
And it is rye flavored, so it is soda made from rye, like the
grain.
The grain, yes.
Okay.
That they make whiskey, or that they make rye bread,
right.
Or pumpernickel, or whatever, you know.
Rye,
rye, yes. And she poured me a big glass of it. I was like, oh yeah, I'll taste it. And I tasted this, and immediately I was like in my head, like, oh no, what do I do? This is terrible. I didn't want to swallow it. Like, it wasn't, like, at least the maple bacon old-fashioned had that old-fashioned sort of level at the bottom of it.
That's true. There was a little
bit
in there.
Where it was, like, the sweet whiskey flavor or whatever. But this was just all bad. And I'm going to confess something here. And once again, I'm going to apologize to Jonathan and Victoria that I think Jonathan might know this already. But, like, so I swallowed it, and then I just kind of held the soda for a little while and... Like, you know, as soon as there was more people there, I excused myself, went to the restroom, and poured it down the sink.
Wow.
In the restroom.
You actually then, brought it with you, like the cup?
Yeah, because I didn't want
to... You're like, oh, I'm just sipping it.
I didn't want to... Because I couldn't take more than one sip.
Wow.
But other than that, it was a delicious meal.
Well, what was the flavor? Like, can you...
It tasted like...
Just like dirty shoes or something?
Yeah, that's a good... Like
I could just, I'm just looking
like,
at your face.
Like stink bug. I don't know. Like,
you're
you know,
just,
when someone steps
so
on a stink
right
bug and like you get that flavor in your, you get
senses.
That scent
yeah.
in your nose and it like you feel it in the back of your throat. Like it tasted like that. Dirty. It tasted like stink bug on the bottom of a dirty shoe.
Wow.
But you know,
yeah.
she didn't make the soda. She
did, no, she
did. Just, it's a popular thing in the Ukraine.
But
so.
Bad drinks all around in the tech bacon universe, and I was I always believed. I always believed everything is better with bacon. I now revise that statement and put an asterisk on it.
No drinks with bacon, please.
Well, I still do want to try the bacon soda that we saw the other day.
Ugh.
Just to try it. I just want to try it.
No, I mean, I understand in that same, like, Jones Soda Thanksgiving way that, yeah, of course I want to try turkey soda. I don't know why.
You just want to.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably horrible.
It's definitely horrible. It's, you know, I blame Willy Wonka. I blame the movie. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was the one with, and the Everlasting Gobstopper and changing flavors. Oh, now it's blueberry. The Everlasting Gobstopper, the gum.
The gum.
That Violet Beauregard.
Oh, it's turkey dinner. Oh, I feel the gravy going.
I blame that because that, to me, as a kid, that was great. I wanted that so bad, you know? And I still see crazy.
Well, they do that with
gums.
Gum now. Like,
yeah, there's an apple pie flavored extra that tastes like a McDonald's, old school McDonald's fried apple pie.
Right. Oh, I love
it's pretty
those.
Amazing. But. Yeah, sorry, I just really
popped
hard
the microphone.
Pop into the microphone. but yeah, I blame that for me wanting to try flavors that shouldn't exist in certain forms.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up the show. Next week, I'm going to talk about Umami Kitesen. So just, we're going to leave it on a much better note of food flavor because the drinks we had were so horrible. Thank you for joining us. This has been an amazing 1 year anniversary show.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations for being a part of it, Jamie D.
Thank you.
Couldn't have done it without you. Can't do it without you. Don't like to do it without you, my friend. I'm just saying, don't like to do it alone.
Let's say good luck to Brian Bishop in his
quest to tech blog the world from San Francisco.
Yes. I'm very excited for him.
And if you listeners have not been following his writings on The Verge, check it out, theverge.com. His articles are all over the place now. So.
Oh, I'm going to have an interesting thing to talk about next week. Because I'm going up to San Simeon.
You are.
I'm going to meet Brian up there to see Citizen Kane at Hearst Castle. And we'll talk about why that's a big deal next
time.
Yeah,
no, that's great. That's going to be something awesome to talk about. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear about it. It's going to be very cool. So anyway, I am Scott.
I'm Jamie.
And thanks for listening. You can check us out on Twitter at ScottyG7.
Bastard Monkey, BSTRDMONKEY.
Or you can... You know, listen to the podcast through any of a number of podcasting services through iTunes. Obviously, you're listening now, but other ones are, you know, Stitcher or streaming from our website at techbacon.net. You can follow our Facebook page, all of that jazz. So have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.